All right, Buccaneers fans, we're here at the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, the Lighthouse, this victorious, exciting Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. But, Sage, we got to have a somber moment.
Deaths. A somber moment after today?
Well, look, deaths in the storm and tragedy all over the place. You know, we're here, hopefully, to uplift some of those readers and listeners who are affected, who enjoyed this game and might take a little joy and peace out of this podcast. If you need a new vehicle, like so many people do now, flooded out. I don't know if you heard the incredible story told on the Fox broadcast today. I'll tell it now before we talk about Bill Curry Ford that presents all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Tom Moore, 85 years old. Ira just makes you feel like a young, spry man. Tom Moore, the Bucks' senior assistant, they told the story on Fox. He got up Friday morning for work. He gets in at 3 o'clock. Every day he's the first one there. Got out to his car. It had been pretty much submerged with water and no good.
Car's kaput.
So Tom Moore at 2:45 a.m. decides, all right, I'm about 4 miles from the office.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to walk.
Ever heard of an Uber?
Dude.
Don't tell me he's walking through hip-deep water.
No, just he had had the water and it had subsided and he took off. So Tom Moore walks 3/4 of the way to the office until somebody else from the team drove past him and said, is that Tom Moore? Picked him up, brought him in the rest of the way. Apparently Todd Bowles said, hey, we were a little worried. Tom's always the first one here. I get in, he's not here. But sure enough, in the 4 o'clock hour, he got into work.
Wow. Tom Moore, what a story. Now he's got to fix his car. It's probably totaled, right?
Probably totaled. Who knows? I talked to a guy here in the media. I won't mention his name. His wife's car trashed. His car thinks it's trashed, but he was able to use it today. And that's happening all over.
I know a lot of people that move their cars to higher ground before Thursday or early on Thursday.
Smart. Well, Sage, Bill Curry Ford, don't worry, drive Curry a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Check out their inventory now, BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, host of the Best in Class podcast and our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He'll beat any advertised price by $100. Just bring in a screenshot, whatever it is. It's no joke. Reach out to him directly at the website, and they'll help you as best they can. You know how helpful they are to the community. I'm sure there'll be some disaster relief coming from Bill Curry Ford, but shop there now, BillCurryFord.com. Go anywhere else, and you'll pay more. Of course, they've got a great body shop there, top flight at the new Giant dealership after their complete redo. And, of course, a service department is the best around. They'll come out to you and pick you up. They've got loaner vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, you can only imagine how they've been inundated with calls.
You said they went up towards the Tallahassee region.
We appreciate our various listeners and readers who I know have called them multiple times, and they've helped families for our readers, and they're still available. So call them 24/7. They'll do their best and give you an evaluation of your property damage. Go to their website, though. That's where you learn about Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Storm damage, mold, fire restoration, mitigation, cleanup, flood, whatever it is your issue. Get there. They've got 5-star Google reviews across the board. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That runs up the coast as well. If you've got roof damage, do not hesitate. You've got to mitigate the situation quickly. You can't wait around and then cash in on insurance later. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Deal with the best. We know them. Owner Josh Martin, great guy, big Bucks fan, and he spent 14 years on the insurance side of the business. So he knows exactly how the game is played so you don't get screwed.
And Steve, we talked to several people that live west of U.S. 19, up and down Pinellas County, Pasco County, and quite a few of them, Steve said, and they've been here a long time, this was the worst in terms of storm damage. This was the worst storm they've ever experienced.
Brutal, Sage. All right. Now, happy times. The Buccaneers are 3-1. This team is better than we thought it was, and this team is damn good. I don't care that the Eagles were vomiting all over the field. I don't care about their injuries. Every team's got injuries.
I'm with you.
The Bucs have superstars that were sidelined. And bottom line is, this was a massive win, 33-16, to respond to a blowout loss with a blowout win. That does not happen very often, Ira. Lee's got a lot to say. I've got a very important point to bring up, but we will clear the floor for you.
I'm surprised and shocked, Steve, and happy that you haven't asked me whether I want to redo my Bucks 9-8 prediction, because here they are at 3-1. That would mean that they're under 500 the rest of the way. I know the schedule gets tougher, you know, starting with a short week in Atlanta. Steve, here's my advice for Buck fans that didn't watch this game, that were busy with storm damage or whatever. Forget about the final score. This game was a blowout. This game was a blowout from the start. There were two moments that were a little bit dicey, if you want to use that word. One, it was 24-14 in the third. Philly got some momentum, Lee. And what'd the Bucks do? They drove the length of the field. They went 70 yards. They built up the lead again. Now, then they screwed up the extra point. I understand that. But they responded. And the second one, which I think was the biggest play of the game, was the Lavonne David strip sack. But overall, and I'm not making this up, Lee, when it was 24-0, midway through the second quarter, the total yards were 252-0. That was it. 252-0. I've never seen that. First downs were like 13-0. That's all you need to say. Quick start. We've been talking about that as a problem
for years.
Good day for Liam Cohn. Kept Philly off balance a little bit. Buck defense, led by David, outstanding. Made Hurts look pedestrian. I don't know what's going on with Jalen Hurts. He just doesn't look the same, Lee. You know, even when they win. And Steve's right. I don't want to hear people say, well, total different story with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. I don't want to hear it. They just beat New Orleans without those guys. And it was a very emotional win for Philly. A rally. And they needed that. So you think Philly's coming in, they're all motivated. They're pissed off about not showing up for the playoff game in Tampa. They want the revenge. And the next thing you know, it's 24-0. They're out of the game. It reminded me of the playoff game against Philly last year. That game was over in about, you know, a quarter and a half. Same thing today. Balanced offense. They had two guys running the ball, both effectively. They had the same exact stats, Lee. 10 carries, 49 yards. You don't have to be a genius in math to know that's 4.9 yards a carry. That's a healthy number, Lee. Healthy. Mayfield, Lee, when it was 14-0, he was 12 for 13 with two touchdown passes. Mike Evans is back. Godwin never went away. He hit 8 different receivers. I can't imagine the Bucks playing any better for the first 20, 25 minutes of this game.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it might end up 66-0.
What was it, the Redskins losing to the Bears?
Yeah, 73-0. Lee, they're 3-1 for the second straight year. Now, last year, they didn't handle it well because I think the bye week came and then they fell apart for a while. You can't expect that to happen again. This is a pretty good football team, and they made Philly look really bad today, Lee. And I don't think it was because Devontae Smith was not active. I don't think that was the reason. They manhandled Philly.
They did manhandle. I could tell, at least I could. I don't know about you guys. They were on point today, that fast start. Everything looked dynamite. And everything did not look dynamite the week before against Denver. But everything was on point, sharp. Todd Bowles used the word crisp. They were certainly crisp.
Yes, crisp.
And I'm thinking to myself, someone did some ass chewing this week. Somebody. I don't know who. Somebody got on somebody's case. It could have been an assistant coach. Could have been Bowles, although Bowles didn't come across as a guy like that. Could have been someone on the
team.
Could
have been Mayfield. Could have been.
Someone did some ass chewing. So I go in the locker room. I start talking to Yaya. And I said, you guys looked like you were out to prove something. Like you were ticked off about what happened the previous week. And he's like, yeah, we were. I said, was there any ass chewing? And he's like, what do you mean? I said, did anybody get on anybody else's case about playing lazy or playing with your head up your rear end? And he, oh, yeah. I said, well, who? Give me somebody. And he kind of motioned to the linebackers. He goes, our captain. So who are you talking about? Lavonte David. Oh. I asked Jordan Whitehead. I said, hey, man, I heard Lavonte David chewed some people out for not playing to their standards this week in practice. What? He goes, oh, yes, he did. And so Lavonte, like from our perspective, Lavonte is a really nice guy, really soft-spoken, borderline introvert. If it was up to him, he would never talk to anybody, not because he hates people, but that's not his bag. He's all about football. But this NFL Films came out with a feature recently with Carissa Thompson talking to Lavonte David. They had clips of him. Remember when the Bucks got their doors blown off in Atlanta? Lovie Smith with like 52-10 or something like that. And he went bananas on the sidelines because NFL Films. They had him mic'd up.
So it's embarrassing.
He just unloaded on people. And then hearing today from his teammates that he gone on and people like, you can play better. That's not the way we play Buck football.
Wait a minute. Is this Lee talking about leadership?
No, but I'm just talking about a guy putting his foot between people's cheeks.
Today he led by example, Steve. Today he led by example.
He, my gosh, he was all over the place. two plays in a row. Lavonte David stops Barkley at the line of scrimmage. Very next play, he breaks up a pass to Dallas Goedert. He was all over the place.
Steve, here's how you spell crisp in NFL language.
D-A-V-I-D.
29 first downs, 455 yards, and zero turnovers. Not easy to do. They didn't play flawless, Steve. I got three miscues.
No, some nitpicking.
Stevie,
but
I got three miscues. The Barkley run. All right, they didn't have their run fit. The extra point, yeah. Travesty.
Anthony Nelson, come on.
And Cameron dropped the touchdown pass, which could have made the score even worse.
Oh, yeah, that
three,
was.
Three miscues, no big deal. Still won comfortably.
Sage, has Lavonte David's performance today now notching his 30th forced fumble, and there are no inside linebackers anywhere close to him. Everybody ahead of him are pass rushers.
Or as, boy, that's a nice round number, Lee.
Did his play today inspire you to say, you know what, I got to stick around another 6-7 years and on that Hall of Fame committee?
I'm thinking about it.
Because this could be my shining moment.
You know, for a guy that's got relatively no fanfare nationally over the course of his career, and a big part of it through no fault of his own, a lot of bad teams.
Oh,
lot of bad teams till Mr. Brady showed up and showed this team how to win. That's not a knock on Lavonte David, but that's why you don't get, you know, the Pro Bowls and the All-Pros, the NFL Top 100 and this and that. I think now there's a newfound respect for Lavonte David. Things are turning.
A revival.
Yeah, it's a revival. They're turning in his direction.
I'm not saying you made an argument or made a case that Lavonte David shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. You were explaining in the past how it's going to be difficult for him.
Anyway, that 30 forced fumbles that he's got now, that ties him with Neil Smith, Khalil Mack, Cliff Averill ahead of him. You're looking at guys
Those guys play up front, Stevie.
I know. You're ahead of them. You're looking at guys like Jared Allen, Hall of Famers.
Julius
like
Peppers.
Charles Woodson and Brian Dawkins, but those are Hall of Fame safeties. Bottom line, Sage, here's what got me today. This is interesting, all right? Not that you guys weren't interesting, but this has got me at the edge of my seat. The Bucs came out today, Ira. 9 of their first 10 plays, they threw the ball. And you know what? It took them 14 freaking plays to run up the middle. That's when they first ran up the middle. When's the last time we ever said that? And they kept throwing and throwing and throwing. And it was as if Liam Cohen said, you know, screw the run. You know, yeah, we want to establish the run, blah, blah, blah. I'm not doing it. And they scored on their first two possessions. And you know what? They got up 21-0. You know what they did?
Threw more.
On that next drive, which gave them the field goal to go up 24-0. They threw 8 out of 10 times up 21-0. Todd Bowles. Now, to me, Ira, that tells me, and we talked about this last podcast, I think that throwing 8 out of 10 times up 21-0 tells me Todd Bowles was not getting involved in this offense today.
Well, part of it, Lee, was it became apparent that the protection was pretty decent.
Yes.
As opposed to last week.
Which was not decent.
Which was not indecent.
Indecent. There you go.
so that helps encourage Cone to keep throwing the ball. Mayfield was having a ton of success throwing the ball.
Indecent.
You know what they did, Lee? They softened up the Eagle defense with those short passes. It's like a boxer with the jab, the jab, the jab. And then all of a sudden you hit him with the knockout punch. Yeah. The quick screen to Godwin. The flare to White. A little flip to Irving. You know, 6 yarder to Otten. Even Evans' touchdown was a 2 yarder. Good game plan by Cone. Good job.
Amazing game.
Good
plan.
Job by the offensive line today. And Jalen Carter's, you know, he's a beast. He's not bad.
You know what I'd love to see today? The Bucs ran behind Tristan Wirfs for a touchdown.
That's a great one, Lee. And Wirfs blocked out the sun on that play.
And that first run that they actually had with Rashad White, they didn't go up the middle on that first drive.
They went left.
Around left, 14 yards or whatever it was.
I talked to Tristan Wirfs after the game. I got him one-on-one just a little bit, and I saw everybody else come in. But I asked Tristan Wirfs, why don't they run behind you? Up until today, why won't they run
That's
behind
a sensitive
you?
Sensitive question for Wirfs to answer.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to call out his offensive coordinator or his other teammates. I said, why won't they? And the answer will come Monday when I write my story.
Oh, come on. Bring it now, buddy. It's a podcast. Let's go.
That's outstanding.
No, we can't do that.
It's called a tease.
People are homeless, and Lee won't tell them this. Come on. Spit it out.
No, they did it right there. I don't want people who got washed out of their homes to be nuts like this. He basically said he didn't know that. I read out the stats like last year.
Did you tell him that the three of us have been screaming about this?
I said for 2 years we've been screaming about it. Ever since Bruce Arians left. And I told him, I said, Arians used to brag about running behind you. I told him about the stats that The Bucks were most effective running to the left last year, yet they ran left the least amount of times. And he's like, well, I don't know anything about this. And he kind of smiles, looking around, and he essentially he said, well, I can tell you it's not, you know, it's not on purpose. He goes, it's just part of the game plan. But I think there's more to it. And like Steve said, I think he's just being polite. But he did admit, when they called that Bucky Irving run to the left for a touchdown, that when he broke huddle, Ben Bradenson elbowed him in the ribs. Like, here we go.
Here we go. Steve, how'd you boy Schooley play today?
Doing well, and I said to Lee, I think I'm going to write something on Schooley playing better. And he allowed one of those Mayfield sacks, and on the next play he got completely worked over and Mayfield escaped.
And then you said, I'm not writing
it.
And
I said, I'm not writing it.
But I did talk to him, though. What the hell?
Lee talked to him, and, you know, look, obviously he's better than he was 2 weeks ago, so we'll take it. And they did run right a couple of times very effectively. The running game, Ira, was effective.
It was.
You know, like you started out, each guy was 10 of 49, 10 carries, 49 yards. That's fantastic. Have you ever seen in your million years covering the NFL a team blow out another team, blow out early and often, and throw 47 passes, Mayfield threw four? Have you ever seen
that? No, that's very rare.
With healthy running backs who are doing well? I've never
seen
it. But
were they healthy? One was supposedly food poisoning. The other's been nursing a hamstring. Although
that's a great point, Steve.
Have you ever seen it?
Usually those are the games when the guy throws 28 passes.
And late in the game, Ira, you tell me. I had a discussion with somebody about this. I wasn't happy about it, but I get it. I'm going to pull it up right here so there's no confusion, Ira. You ready for this? Bucks winning 33-16 with 4 minutes left.
Got to run the ball.
Is the game over?
Yeah.
Okay, game's over. Baker Mayfield comes out, throws short left to Mike Evans for 6 yards. What are we doing?
Lee, it's obvious Liam Cohn read my column last week when I said he played scared. He didn't like it.
What are they doing risking Mike Evans on that? Are they
Now you're complaining about being too aggressive?
Come on. We see guys get injured left and right in the game. Mike Evans in the locker room, Ira, walking like an old man after this game.
That could have been a time when you give Tucker the ball. Could've. Give Tucker a couple carries.
Is this just to pad Evans, get him a little help, get closer to 1,000?
That could be part of it.
That's not completely inaccurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, get the guy off the field. I hate that.
Did Atlanta pull a game out of their ass today, Steve?
Atlanta hit a 58-yard field goal in the closing seconds. They pulled an Ira Kaufman.
They were staring at 1-3.
They were losing. They were staring at 1-3. They pulled an Ira Kaufman. They threw deep, got the flag, lined up for the 58-yard field goal, and he made it. Place went absolutely berserk.
Took their deep shot and got the flag.
And they got the flag 2-2, and the Saints are 2-2, so the Bucks sit alone. And you know what? All the national types, very impressed with the Eagles' defense. Jalen Carter, the guy you just mentioned, talking a little crap about Baker Mayfield earlier in the week. And finally, a home field advantage showed up today. They're now 12-10 with Todd Bowles. But Eagle after Eagle after Eagle was dropping with heat exhaustion, and the Bucks didn't. And we never see that.
Home field advantage, Lee, we have to mention, and we're not surprised, Lee, you and I talk about it all the time, thousands and thousands of freaking Philly fans in the building.
Half and
I
half.
I saw them walking in when I was walking. Yeah. Some of them must have left when it was 24-0, especially if they're on the east side of the stadium in that freaking heat.
The east side did clear out.
Did you mention that we saw a guy have to take the ice bath while the game was in progress?
That was Gardner Johnson. We were in the tunnel. It's near the Bucks locker.
Right in the tunnel, Steve. The game was still in progress. Think you needed an IV, right, Lee?
Well, that's what I had heard. I did not see that. But what I did see was the paramedics basically had a kiddie pool, and they filled it with ice water, and he soaked it in the ice water to try to cool off.
Yeah.
So the Bucks 3-1, Ira, but they're 3-0 in the conference. That's huge for those tiebreakers.
That's not bad at all, Steve.
And Washington beat the snot out of Arizona on the road.
And Daniels continues to look good.
And the Bucks have that win over Washington, which is a nice little edge there for possibly a division tiebreaker if it comes to that, you know, for a 2-seed or a 3-seed.
They're
3-1
now.
Commanders are 3-1. Impressive stuff, but in all seriousness, Ira, we have more to talk about this game, but Lee, Ira, how good do you think the Bucks are? Now, I know you say it was got a good football team. How is this a Super Bowl caliber team?
No, I can't go that far, Lee. Yeah. I just can't.
NFC Championship like Florio's is? Yeah, I can see that. They almost did it last year.
A lot of people were talking about Green Bay this week, jumping on. They lost.
Bad, didn't they?
They lost at home. San Francisco bounced back, but they're playing like New England or something. I don't think the Bucks are a Super Bowl team, Steve, but I think they're a good team. Now I see their path for 10 wins. I do.
Yeah, that San Francisco game doesn't look like such a roadblock like it used to. Their injuries are terrible. I may be dreaming up some things, but here we go. Coaches, a lot of times, well, I don't read this or I don't read that. We know they do, or at least they hear about it secondhand. Then they go read it. Well, a couple times last week, I wrote how Kevin Carberry, when I saw him walk through the tunnel after the Denver loss, he looked like he was about ready to deck somebody. He was so PO'd, so PO'd. He took off his baseball cap, and he slapped his leg with it as he walked by. I mean, he really looked angry. Now, I don't know if he reads Joe Buck's fan. I don't even know if he knows Joe Buck's fan. However, today after the win, and an offensive line looked probably the best it looked all year, even with Schooley in there.
Schooley!
And he's walking through the tunnel. We make eye contact, and he just breaks out in a huge smile, and he looks at me. Like, almost like, yeah, I know you wrote about
how like a lot of nubile young women do, right?
Like the cheerleading. No, they usually throw up.
Like the cheerleading crew at halftime.
This was a dominant victory, Stevie, and I don't care what the final score was.
It's very exciting. I think the Bucks are a Super Bowl-caliber team, Ira, from the NFC. Not the AFC, but from the NFC, because I'm just not seeing a lot better. I can't say I have all of this faith in Sam Darnold, you know, over the course of a 17-game season. But I like what I'm seeing. You don't see this every day, a blowout after getting, you know, your door's blown off.
Lee, is it fair to say at this point, and maybe you can say this about a lot of quarterbacks, but not all of them, if Mayfield's well-protected, he can do a lot of damage.
He can.
Now, somebody would say, well, you can say that about 25 out of 32 quarterbacks. But you know what? And he didn't have to be Houdini today either. He didn't have to escape a lot of
sacks.
Not too
much.
A couple times, not too much, considering he threw 47 times.
You can't believe the 47 throws.
No,
you can't believe it.
In a blowout win, I mean, 30's a lot in a blowout win. 32 is a lot. 47 is unbelievable. This was a throw-first, let-it-rip offense, and I hope they keep doing it. Cade Otton quietly had 6 catches today. Godwin quietly had 6 catches. Tom Brady made a great point on the broadcast that Mike Evans, you know how sometimes he catches a ball, calls for a sub, you see it on TV, picks his hand up, he comes out. Well, Tom Brady noted that Evans came out of the game, and in comes Palmer in Mike Evans' position. He said this was Mike Evans' route, and he caught it beautifully in the back of the end zone.
Hell of a throw.
Hell of a throw and a hell of a catch in traffic. You know, unfortunately, he got the concussion, but great start for Palmer, who had 3 catches in like the first 6 minutes and a touchdown.
It's hard to find a unit that didn't play well today. Maybe special teams.
Snaps.
You know, but that's nitpicking. That's nitpicking. And it was good to do it in front of the home crowd because they were starting to be a little skeptical. You saw it on some of the polls you've been running. They were starting to turn on Bowles. It doesn't take much for these people to turn on Bowles. He still hasn't won them over, Steve.
Speaking of Lee saying, you know, you never know who reads what and stuff. And obviously seeing Kevin Carberry face-to-face is different than what I'm going to say. But Brady on the broadcast mentioned, you know, there's a lot of fans out there who think, you know, Bucky Irving should take over for Rashad White. Where did he get that from, Ira? Where did he get that from? Which I thought was kind of fun.
Ira's still steaming because I talked to Brady and Brady big-leagued him.
He did. He didn't acknowledge me, Steve. Didn't acknowledge me.
Maybe he didn't see you.
Oh, he saw you, right?
He's tall.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He's Tom. I thought he's got great, beautiful pocket vision.
Which is worse, Tom Brady big-leaguing you or Jason Light?
I think Brady, because Brady's going to the Hall of Fame and there's no spot for Light. There's no spot
for
Light.
Ouch, maybe?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. There's a contributor.
Now, Light did give you an acknowledgement, a wink after the game and, you know, near the locker room after you were finished talking to the Glazers.
But Brady was tough on some of the Bucks. Called out KJ Britt one time for no poor recognition in the passing game. You know, of course, he mentioned his guys, but he did come out early and say, look, Jalen Hurts, when you're missing your top 2 receivers, even if you're not thinking about it, you're not going to play as fast and as confident because you just don't trust what's out there in the same way, and you got to work around it. Yeah, that didn't happen, but all the credit to the Bucks.
Who takes the fall on the Barkley 59-yarder?
I didn't look at it that closely. I'll watch the film, but, you know,
it's Barkley.
Play. Yeah.
Terrific player.
League leader.
League leader coming in.
Sage Vitavea's triumphant return.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to spill it here because this was an elevator situation of people I was in the elevator with coming up late in the press box about 10 minutes before the game, but I heard that from that group, you know, Vea was feeling pretty good last week. Might have been able to play. You know, he did sort of practice a little bit, came down there.
Don't tell me they figured out we're playing the Broncos. We don't need
to. No, but, you know, medically not, you know, they didn't let him play. But it gave me a feeling that, you know, he was probably always going to go this week. And he looked really good.
He's a freaking presence, Lee.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm curious what that group was, if you could say. Ownership group?
You can't
no,
say.
No, no.
You said that group, and I'm like, what group?
Wouldn't it be nice if Winfield,
trainers?
Wouldn't it be nice if Winfield came back for the Atlanta game? Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be. I did hear that Clyde Jucansi's been sprinting and and is very close. So whatever that means,
Atlanta,
I don't know.
Atlanta relies on the run game quite a bit, even though they have Cousins. They got another receiver named Mooney. He's having a good year.
Yeah, he's okay.
All right, Sage, before we get to more on the defense, got to ask you guys this. Maybe a little controversial, Ira. A little controversial. Ira's pointing at his watch. We're 30 minutes in.
I got dinner waiting for him.
They said cheeseburgers here. What are you talking
about? I got two more hot dogs to get.
All right, look. So Sterling Shepard comes out there today, plays well, looks spry. We know he's tight with Mayfield. We know that he's been a really good player in the past, and early in training camp, he looked good. It was a rib injury. I don't know if they ever announced what his injury was, but I talked to Shepard after the game today for a while. Rib injury. So it wasn't like he had a bum knee or he's on a bad wheel. It's nothing like that. You know, this guy, he's played well, Ira, in the past, and he's got that connection with Mayfield. Do you maybe let him run his course and see what happens with him out there playing even more?
Well, certainly if the Palmer injury is worse than anticipated, that could open a spot for Shepard. You know, McMillan hasn't been lights out necessarily.
Not the last couple weeks he hasn't.
You know, I thought Shepard made some plays, Lee. Made some plays.
You could tell him and Mayfield have a chemistry. You could tell.
But the Bucs have had a mixed bag, Lee, with adding veteran receivers, you know, off the wires or whatever.
Yeah. Julio?
It's a mixed bag.
Julio?
Julio. But Antonio Brown contributed, you know, certainly.
Oh, he was excellent. Yeah.
You know, but there's been some others. I'm willing to give Shepard a look. I like the way he played today.
I'm not against McMillan. I just hope there's none of this investiture stuff. You know, if Shepard's hot and he's got that chemistry Lee's talking about, let's see what happens if he plays some more.
I don't think the investiture thing with McMillan will be a factor for Jason Light. I don't.
No, because McMillan's going to be around a few years.
Jason Light smells the playoffs right now.
Exactly. Yeah. You could tell in training camp, early in training camp before Shepard got dinged up. There's chemistry there with him and Mayfield. And obviously when he came to the game, didn't Mayfield hit him with a couple of quick passes almost right off the bat?
Lee, how important is it for the Bucs to have this little cushion going into the meat of their schedule rather than being 2-2 or 1-3?
If they win on Tuesday, great. Or Thursday, great. If they don't win on Thursday, But it helps. Of course it helps. And like I said, that gnarly part of the schedule with San Francisco kind of teetering with all their injuries, that doesn't look as tough as
Steve, had they lost back-to-back home games, we're having a whole different conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, well, come on. Right?
People are talking about Bill Belichick then.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? I'm going to say I'm not worried if the Bucs lose to Atlanta. I'll even say it now. I don't expect them to beat Atlanta.
Ooh.
Winning on Thursday night on the road, very hard to
do. Very hard.
I looked at the Bucs going into the season as going 4-2 in the division. All right, so that means you got to pick a couple of losses. And you know what? I'll take them on 10 days rest against the Saints. After whatever happens in Atlanta, I hope they win. But I'm not. If they lose, so what? So what?
The 3-1, it makes a huge difference. Look what happened last year. They started 3-1, and they were still able to rebound after losing 6 out of 7. Mm-hmm. If you're starting 1-3 and 2-2, you can't rebound like that.
Yes,
you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah, you're painting yourself in the corner.
And I'll say it again, Steve. The game in Atlanta turned the Bucs season around last year. Yeah, I'm going to say it one more time. They were 5-7. The Falcons were 6-6, had already beaten the Bucs in that crazy game in Tampa. So if they go up 2 games and the tiebreaker, I don't think the Bucs are winning that division if they lose that game. Cade Otton made the catch. Mayfield made the throw. They're not scared about going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't care what Isbit says.
If the Bucs can win Thursday night, and Steve kind of touched upon this, then all of a sudden they're getting healthy. Kansas, Winfield, Villa came back today. That's a good sign.
And Gedeky's on the brink.
Gedeky's on the brink as
we
well.
Hope,
good
we
point.
Hope.
We hope.
I mean, 3 games with a concussion, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, difficult situation there. You hope for the best. Otherwise, we'll have to get you a schoolie jersey, Ira.
It was brutal on the field. The heat index was incredible today.
There's a guy that he goes back and forth with Steve and I on Twitter, and he works up in Philadelphia, works for CBS Sports. He's the NFL editor for CBSSports.com, and he works for CBS Philly. Does a lot of Phillies games and then Eagles games, of course.
Joe Bucks fan? Fan of Joe Bucks fan?
I think so. I think so. Well, anyway, before the game, hey, I hear it's roasting down there. And I replied, I said, 88 degrees for Floridians? That's a nice day.
Yeah. But it was humid. Yeah, no,
I mentioned
question
him
about
in the post that I wrote, Ira, that our photographer said hottest game he can remember.
Wow.
Or maybe ever.
So I saw Brian Ford going down with about 4 minutes left in the game in the elevator.
Team president, I think.
And somebody mentioned the Heat that was in the elevator or something. And Ford said, we petitioned the league for 4:30 starts in September, and we only got one.
Wow.
Yeah. They weren't happy about it. They don't want the 1 o'clock starts in September.
Well,
Steve, even though some people think it's an advantage for the home team, maybe they're thinking about the fans or whatever. They want the 4:30 starts in September at home, which we had in week one. In week one, we had that.
When the Eagles still had a little fight in them in the fourth quarter, I looked at my binoculars at the bench, and they looked so zonked from the Heat. I mean, they were like zombies. They're on the bench. They're like, getting their towels over their heads. They looked out of it.
I thought Hurts had no rhythm today, Steve. He never found a rhythm.
No, I mean, they had, what, no yards in the first quarter? I mean, it was terrible.
In the middle of the second quarter, they had 0 yards.
So the Bucks 6 sacks, Ira. What can you say? Anything about those 6 that you liked?
I love the fact they were spread out, Lee. They did it without Kancey, who's going to make a difference. They did it without Winfield as a blitzer. A beautiful thing. After going 2 games without a sack, Bowles was going crazy about that. He don't cock today.
I don't know about that. He doesn't seem to be overly ambitious.
He wants his 45 sacks.
Here's the fun part, though. They went from on pace for 11 sacks last week that we talked about. Now they're on pace for 34 sacks.
There you go. I said they were going to end up with 40 sacks.
Yeah. So we'll see if they get there. They probably will get close.
You know, Cousins ain't, Justin Fields over there. They might put him on the ground four times.
He's not hurt.
All right, Sage, look, another 30 spot at home, 2 out of 3 games for the Bucks, putting up points.
Love the offense today.
Exciting times to be a Bucks fan. You know, like Lee said, getting healthier. Guys, you know, we're winning without some key players.
Why do you think they were so pass happy today? You think going looking at the films, they saw weaknesses on Philly's pass defense?
That's my guess. You know, again, Irving has a bad hamstring. White was sick, had food poisoning. And I think that was
so you add it all up?
Yeah. They didn't want to get these guys beat up. You know, if he's got a sore hamstring, you don't want to keep pounding the guy. And then the next thing you know.
I didn't notice whether Mayfield had thrown more than 47 passes as a Buccaneer. I don't.
I didn't look that up. He probably had a higher.
Maybe in a loss.
Maybe had a 50 in a loss.
But your point is, in a blowout, that doesn't happen.
Well, especially since all offseason we hear you saying that it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. And it's not. But
unless you're Tom Brady,
we've never seen anything like this. Ira, maybe Rashad White ate at that Chinese place in Newport Richey where you go all the time.
I don't know.
That takes a strong stomach over.
I think it's China Gate or something like that.
Oh, you don't want to get sued, dude.
No, I don't want to get sued. I think the place is good, but I don't know what Rashad White was doing. But you know what? He played pretty well.
I'm just teasing you. All right, Ira, look, just a stunning day. Happy as hell.
24-0 before you can blink an eye, Lee. It's a beautiful thing.
Bucks locker room, a happy, happy place. And Todd Bowles keeping it even keel, keeping it cool in his post-game remarks.
You're already on record saying they're going to lose in Atlanta, Stephen. Next podcast, you're not going to change your pick.
I'm no Atlanta fan, but I think it's going to be a tough go for a few reasons. But I haven't watched Atlanta's game yet with the Saints. And I don't know if they got more offensive line injuries or they struggled there.
Could have some more
injuries. So I'm not picking it now, but... You know, I'm just saying on the record that I'm not worried if they lose.
Lee, I'm on a 3-game losing streak, picking Buck games. I don't know what's going on with this team. I don't know what's going on with this
Didn't
team.
Didn't Lavonte David today record his 1,500th tackle?
You never know who's counting or combined tackles and all that.
I think the all-time leader is about 2,000.
That's Brooks, isn't it?
No, it's not Brooks.
Brooks is like number 2? He's right up there.
Brooks is up there. Yeah, Brooks is up there.
Yeah, I think he's top 5.
Mike London Fletcher, he's up there. Yeah. David's building a strong case, Lee. I'll be the first to say it. He's turning my head. And I always talk about hardware, which is true. You get in that room, and you're going to say, well, the guy's the number 5 tackler of all time. Oh, how many times he's been a first-year, first-team All-Pro? Yeah, once. So why am I listening to this?
All right, Sage, we're going to remind everybody, BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, BillCurryFord.com. Shop now. Maybe you need a Ford Bronco, maybe you want a used vehicle, maybe you want to order a new vehicle. Sean Sullivan is your guy. They've got coupons. Don't forget the Ira Kaufman discount. Go to their website, and they are beating any advertised price by $100. And remember our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration.com. If you or a friend need restoration services after this storm with damage and flooding, check them out. Refer them. We've had a lot of people refer Florida's Elite Restoration and say they were happy. I've heard from people referring saying, hey, my friend was happy calling them up, you know, whatever. It's that time, and you need somebody you can trust for sure. Got one final question for you as we blow out of here, Ira.
I know your question. Are we getting separate bedrooms in Atlanta, or do you got to sleep on the couch again?
Here's the deal. Bucky Irving now, four consecutive games, production. Now, he's not out there running for 200 yards or something like that, but in every single game, he's been statistically productive. What does that tell you?
Tells me Light's done it again in the draft. There's no reason to think Irving's not going to be a heck of a player, Lee. He's doing it week in, week out. And I'll tell you the craziest thing about Irving, and I don't think this is an exaggeration, Steve. I like his three-yard runs. They're exciting. He makes the first freaking guy miss. And the fans are totally into him. They're totally into him. They used to say Sage, 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 and now they're saying Bucky, Bucky, Bucky. Exciting player. But they're winning. There's no reason to upset the apple cart in the eyes of the organization and diminish Rashad White. They want to keep him happy. Yeah, if they lose three or four in a row, they'll revisit the situation. But as Steve mentioned, both guys were very effective today. Mm-hmm. Same amount of carries, same amount of yards. I'm very happy with this offense today. I don't want to mess with it.
Ira, you're so happy with the offense when you go to Atlanta and go to Mary Mac's Tea Room?
Should I get a salad like I did at the Primanti Brothers?
Don't insult restaurants by getting salads.
All right. Cup of soup. Cup of soup, Lee.
That's better.